Morning, morning, morning.
It's the boss. I call shot
like a boss. In the gloss. My lip gloss,
I only rock clear. On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson. I got that
sunshine in my pocket. All right, we've talked about how there is so much going on in the sports world now. NFL trade deadline, exciting. But tomorrow also will be the first college football playoff rankings, the CFP rankings. And if you had to pick now, who would your top four teams be? It's not clear to me. It's foggy.
But it's fuzzy.
It won't be fuzzy to you, but you've got a good idea.
I would only switch one thing in the rankings that just came out this week. I love Georgia at number one. No doubt about it.
Just pause on that. There's amazing unanimity on that one. Georgia really deserves to be there. They're outstanding.
Well, they're undefeated, and they're in the SEC. Even though some of their wins aren't pretty, and they've got a quarterback, they could be having a quarterback controversy, you know, or situation quandary between Stetson Bennett and JT Daniels, and are they going to switch it up? No doubt. They're number one. I love that the committee was brave enough to put Cincinnati at number two. I absolutely love that pick. I think Luke Fickell has done an amazing job. They are undefeated. They deserve to be there. And that is a really courageous move. That's a brazen move to me by the CFP that says you don't have to be in a Power Five. So I love that move. I think that's great. Alabama at number three. I don't have a problem there. When is the last time you saw Alabama at number three? I love that. It's 7-1.
7-1. So that will be the one-loss team that would fit in your top four.
Right. That's it. And then for number four, I would not have OU there. I would not put Oklahoma, who's at 9-0, there. I would move Michigan State from the Big Ten, who's 8-0 right now, with a big win over Michigan this past weekend.
Yep.
I have watched, and I've told you this, I've watched Oklahoma's games since the first week of the season when they struggled to beat Tulane. And Spencer Rattler threw three interceptions. They have had ugly wins. I mean, they are undefeated, but they are in the Big 12. And I just do not love what I've seen from OU. So I am all about Michigan State moving up to the four. They're in the Big 10. They're tough. They're winning big games. And OU comes down.
All right, that would be a good start to the CFP. Obviously, a lot of time to come. When we return, we're going to talk to Darren Smith, a radio show host in Kansas City. We're going to ask him about the Chiefs game tonight and how the fans in Kansas City will receive or welcome the Honey Badger after his comments about the fans. Woo. Next up on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the boss.
And the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And as we were going to break, we were noting that the big Monday Night Football matchup is the Chiefs versus the Giants. And we have a man on the ground in Kansas City, Darren Smith. He's a prolific radio show host for WHB Radio. He knows all things about the Chiefs. Darren, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's always good when the boss, the guy signs the paychecks, wants you on the show. So I was definitely going to make sure that I appeared, even if it meant being coming on in the middle of the ballgame, I would have been on. But thank you so much for having me.
Oh, great to have you. Well, let's start with the Honey Badger. He made some comments about the fans this week.
You knew that was coming, Darren. Yeah. We're just coming out with the punches early.
Right out the gate. I'm ready for it. Let's go.
Well, how are the fans going to receive him?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I talked to the Chiefs PR, and they told me that, and I don't know if it's by design, but the defense is being announced tonight, and Tyron's going to be the last one out. So it's going to be interesting what type of reaction he gets. I expect he'll still get cheered. I mean, I don't think 79,000, 80,000 people are paying that type of attention to Twitter like that, but I expect him to get cheered. I mean, you might have a smatter in the booze, but I doubt it'll be that big. Because the one thing that he was smart enough to know, unlike Steve Bono, he knew when he made a mistake and tried to come right out and address the media the very next day after it all, you know, took place, after the firestorm started brewing over the night on Friday.
I might say two things about that. One, you're right. When people make mistakes, they ought to just come clean and just let it go, right? And the second is, he's been a good player for this Chiefs defense over the last couple of seasons. We remember him when he was down here in Houston playing for the Texans, And I remember last year he got lots of kudos for helping elevate the defensive secondary.
Yeah, no, that's true. The problem is, of course, you know, I mean, everybody knows this. When you go to the last year of your contract, you want a contract extension. And because if nothing got done during the offseason and he didn't get signed, of course, it kind of lingers over. The problem is, as I always say, look, you negotiated the deal when you signed with the team. So you negotiated for 3 years. You should have negotiated for, or your agent should have negotiated for 5 instead of 3. And so because the Chiefs, they're already on the hook for a big contract with Frank Clark along with Chris Jones, they didn't want to be tied in just like that right away. So I get it from both sides where Tyron wants security, but the Chiefs and especially the general manager, Brett Veach, you got to look out for the salary cap in your pocketbooks and make sure that you're doing the best decision, because let's just say for the sake of argument, they assigned Tyron to an extension. Look at how he's playing. Look at how Frank Clark's playing. Look at how Chris Jones playing. Nobody's really living up to the money that they're making this season, and that includes Tyron.
Mm. Yeah, very true. Very true, Darren. Also, possibly not living up to the contract he signed this year is your QB, Patrick Mahomes, who I love. I love everything about him, but he's thrown an interception in each of the last 6 games. What is he
going
to do?
Ms. Gloss, I'm going to stop you while you're here now, because while my opinions weren't highly promoted, don't think that any Patrick slander will go unnoticed, okay?
That's why I wanted to clarify that I really do like him, and I love what he stands for, and I love how he addresses the media. I think he's doing too much. I do think his interception numbers are just, they're just very un-Patrick-like. So I want you, Darren, to tell me, what does he need? He knows he needs to be better, and he's saying it, and I love that. We're talked about owning it. What does he need to do to be better?
You know what? He needs to just slow down a little bit. You know, sometimes being boring is the way to go. I mean, you don't always have to. And the problem that he has, and it's not a bad problem. It's just that he's gotten away with it the last 2 years. That he's always looking for the horn. He's always looking for the big play. He's always looking for the Sports Center highlight. When sometimes just throwing the ball 12 yards or even 7 yards and letting the receiver do something is not a bad play. The idea is to score a touchdown no matter how long it takes. You don't have to get it in 1-2 plays. You can take a 17-yard drive and still get into the end zone if at the end of the day the points are totaling up and you win the ball game. You don't have to win, you don't have to win the highlight. Win the ball game itself. And that's one of the things that, even though he knows, because I've asked him literally after the Baltimore Raven game when he should have just taken the sack instead of throwing the interception. Same thing happened against the Chargers, and then it was another game against the Washington football team. I've asked him after all 3 of those games, like, why didn't you take the sack? He thought he saw something, and he won't do it again. But he's done it twice since the Baltimore game. So it's just one of the things where, initially, when because they've had so many turnovers and most of them have led to losses with this team, when you get that first turnover and you have a defense that's as bad as the Chiefs currently have right now, it sets you back, because now you're giving the other team good field position. They go down and score because your defense can't stop them, and now you feel like you're under pressure to hurry up and score so you can try to get the ball back once again. But again, you can score quickly, but the problem with that is you put your defense right back out there when they just gave us some points.
We're talking to Darren Smith. He's a very popular show host on WHB Radio in Kansas City. Okay, one way to get back on track is to play the New York Giants. They're of course 2 wins and 5 losses. I think the Chiefs will work things out tonight, but is there anything that scares you about the Giants in tonight's matchup?
Yeah, the Chiefs defense.
I
would say that the Daniel Jones, because the Chiefs haven't played him since he's been in the league, and the fact that you don't know what you're going to get. The Chiefs have had problems with running quarterbacks, and Daniel Jones is a pretty good athlete. You know, you don't want to let the fact that he's 6'5", and of a different persuasion, you know, kind of fool you, because he's a really good athlete. And one of the things that the Chiefs defenders will not underestimate again is someone like Josh Allen. And again, you look at someone like Daniel Jones, who fits that bill, by 6'5", by 230. He's athletic enough where, you know, if you look like you're going to try to go down for his legs, he can jump up underneath, you know, he can jump over you. And he has shown, even though he'll get tired, he can hit you for an 80-yard run. And so that's something that the Chiefs defense need to watch out for. And according to Steve Spagnuolo, he knows that he knows the type of athlete that Daniel Jones is. And so he's also concerned about that and making sure that, that his players can actually get to the defense and get to the quarterback, you know, in time.
All right, Darren, you there in Kansas City, Carla here in Houston, but she's a rabid, over-the-top, diehard Raiders fan. I'm just,
oh, wow.
You two are working in to build a relationship.
I think you just shocked Darren.
It's been a little bit awkward at the beginning here. But any words, Chiefs or Raiders, who wins that division, or is it the Chargers? Who stands tall at the end of the season?
You know what? I literally just had this conversation about 15 minutes ago with my boss and one of the Bob Glauber from the New York Post, and we were literally just sitting there talking about whether or not the Chiefs can, and Jeff Chedid from the NFL Network, and to me, it's just, even though the Raiders are playing well, and of course they were off this week, it's still the Raiders, and where things kind of like the Cowboys, where things go wrong, they will go wrong, and so I would say that Kansas City still has a good chance to win the division if and only if. When they go to Las Vegas in 2 weeks, where I'll be at. So,
Darren, we're gonna have to meet up.
That's fine. And look, and if Mr. Boston want to advance some money for the table, we'll take them too.
I'm invited too to this little party. And two things. First of all, when you said the Raiders are still the Raiders, you should have seen smoke came out of Carla's ears here.
He's getting me back because he thought I was slandering Mahomes, which I was not.
Yeah, so,
but nonetheless.
So I don't know what this meeting in Vegas is going to be like between the two of you.
It's going to be all good.
I'm sure it will
be awesome.
I might try to find a way to join you guys. This sounds like a good time in Vegas. That'll be the Chiefs and the Raiders in a couple of weeks. Good luck to your Chiefs tonight against the Giants. Darren, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it. I'll be calling about half hour into the show.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much. You all have a great day. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, take care. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by our SportsMap Radio NFL expert, Howard Balzer, joins us. And we're going to ask him what moves he anticipates here at the trade deadline. Are there any more big moves looming after Von Miller was traded to the Rams? It'll be Howard Balzer next here on the SportsMap Radio Network.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, this is the moment we've been waiting for here on the show. The chance to get on the set here, the great Howard Balzer, NFL expert for the SportsMap Radio Network. Howard, thanks for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, it's great to be with you again on another Monday here, the first Monday in November. Boy, this season flies, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. We love our Mondays.
Which season? We've got them all going on. We've got MLB, yeah. NBA, NFL, college football. It's like it's a sports person's dream
Well, of course, baseball, it seems like it started like decades ago.
But yeah.
162 games will do that to you, for sure.
Exactly.
Well, Howard, I want to start off with the big trade today. Von Miller going to the Rams. That's a monster deal. Rams look like they're all in for this season. Break that trade down. How do you think it went down?
Well, I mean, they've been all in ever since they went to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Because they know that you not only do you have to be good in Los Angeles, but you have to have star power. And that's what the Rams have consistently done ever since they moved. And now, of course, with Matthew Stafford earlier this year, the trade that brought them Jalen Ramsey. This is what they do. They obviously don't value draft choices very much. Boy. Because I think in next year's draft, I believe they right now have four, and that includes a compensatory pick at the end of the third round. But that right now, that's their first pick next year.
Yeah, they've given away five.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been their modus, their MO since they got to LA. And so I'm sure with the Broncos situation, they knew that they're not going anywhere, and who knows, maybe they could get on a run and compete for a postseason berth, but they pretty much came to the conclusion that Von Miller will not be with them next year. But a key for the Rams, though, is that the Broncos are still paying about right around $9 million of what Miller has left on his contract for this year, because there's no way the Rams would have been able to fit it under the salary cap. So they get a very good pass rusher, and it's just another star. It's another player that they feel can help if not put them over the top, at least continue on in that group of really good teams in the NFC where you can make a case for a bunch of teams, presuming they stay healthy for the rest of the season, of competing for not only who gets to the Super Bowl or playoff spots or all that, but gets a coveted bye in the playoffs because there's only one. There's only one now with the extra wild card team, so only one team will get a bye, and that obviously that's a team in each conference with the best record, and that's what they're also shooting for.
Yeah, they stand at 7-1 right now. Now, trade deadline tomorrow. What other moves do you envision happening?
Well, there's a lot of word that the Rams are also looking to try to deal DeSean Jackson.
Yep.
And I thought that he would have a much bigger impact on this team than he has when he has played and they've thrown him the ball. I mean, he's averaging a lot of yards. He has only eight catches, but for something like over 200 yards. I mean, I don't know why they're not using him, but that's just the way it's played out. So I don't know if they can get very much for a 34-year-old guy who has a history of injury. I'm sure they're probably just figuring, hey, we can get another sixth or a seventh-round pick. That's what most we have in the draft anyway. But I also wonder if they can't make a deal for him then, whether they'll just release him, but we'll see because Jackson isn't happy with his role. Beyond that, I mean, who knows? I mean, this one was a shocker, so maybe there could be a shocker or two tomorrow. But, of course, what we're really looking at is in the next 24 hours, will Deshaun Watson?
I was going to say, let's talk about the other Deshaun. Yeah. Give us
exactly.
Your thoughts, Howard.
Will he get traded? And, I mean, I've said all along, I think a team would be crazy to trade for him given all the circumstances around it and all the late reports were that the things that I'm told and others have been told is that what Miami was saying is basically we'll take Deshaun Watson but told Deshaun's team only if you settle all these lawsuits, which I don't know if that's possible. There's 22 of them, but I guess if you offer enough money, perhaps you could get it done. But the glitch there is once Houston caught wind of that, they're figuring, well, oh, man, if they're going to do that and he might actually be able to play sooner than anyone thinks, then we want more because the Texans are not going to be able to get much because of the uncertainty. But if all of a sudden a certain amount of that uncertainty is removed, then they feel that they should get better value. And so supposedly that's what's holding it up. So they don't have a lot of time because once that trade deadline passes at 4 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday, then nobody can be traded until next March.
It's interesting. The Giants may have tight end Evan Engram up. The Cardinals picked up Zach Ertz. That was a great addition for that offense.
Pickup.
He sure had shined in the early going here. Talk about a big tight end and what that could do. Do you think Evan Engram is a guy who could help a contender?
He probably could. Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. And so I think that's the type of guy with, you know, tight ends are at a premium, mm-hmm. and especially tight ends that can catch the ball because what they do is not only they're not only valuable for when they get the ball, but they're also valuable for having that threat in the middle of the field that defenses have to account for. And what those tight ends can also be used for a lot of times is that check down for the quarterback that's maybe sometimes a little bit better than a running back because you can get it over the field rather than in the flat. And so that could definitely benefit a team. I mean, look how many times we see Travis Kelce, although it hasn't happened as much this year with Kansas City's struggles, but look how many times that Patrick Mahomes is rolling out. He's doing this, he's doing that. He's looking for Tyreek Hill. He's looking for other guys. And all of a sudden he says, okay, I'll just throw it to Travis Kelce because he always gets open. So that's the value that a good pass-catching tight end can provide just about anybody's offense.
And Howard, what about Green Bay? Do you think they should be buyers at the deadline? I mean, they brought in Whitney Merciless. They brought in Jalen Smith. Both have done really well for them. Aaron Rodgers seems super excited about those additions. Is Brian Gutekunst trying to please his quarterback and bring in more people, kind of like a Sean McVay, let's do a win-now situation? Should they be buyers at the deadline?
Well, I think they are trying to be buyers, and that's the key. But it's also who is truly available. Can you make a deal? And what do you feel is the true fit for that player with your team, knowing that, you know, a good veteran, they can go to a team in the middle of the season and adjust, although it's not easy. It takes a lot of work, especially if it's a pass catcher getting on the same page as his quarterback and the playbook and all those things. But you're right. The Packers have picked up certainly some guys on defense to help. They certainly have some issues in the secondary, which is something they might be looking for. But sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough to get a team to give up, even a team that isn't very good this year, And they're still looking at, well, we still think that we're building and we don't want to give up too much of our depth unless we get a good, you know, good value for it. So, but I do think the Packers will be trying. The question is, you know, can they get somebody who can help that team, whether it's whatever it is, whether it's corner, whether it's offensive line for depth or any of those things. But teams usually are very reluctant to give up too much of their depth, even if it is a team that isn't that good.
We're talking to Howard Balzer, NFL expert for the Sports Map Radio Network. He is also a co-host of Biggs and Balzer, which it airs on Saturday, 12 to 3 Eastern. All right, Howard, I want to ask you about the Saints quarterback situation. Winston, of course, is done for the year. Trevor Siemian was pretty good yesterday. I guess we'll have Taysom Hill back this week. There are also whispers that somehow they might try to induce Drew Brees to come back. Is that possible, or do you think Taysom Hill is going to be the starter going forward?
I would think first on Drew Brees is that, I mean, the Saints wouldn't be doing their due diligence if they didn't at least pick up the phone and say, hey, Drew, what do you think? But all signs seem to indicate that he has no interest in coming back and playing. And I think that, I mean, you can see him, and I think he's, I don't know how much it is, but it looks like he's lost some weight. And
gained some hair. He has new hair.
There we go. There we go.
Look at the before and after images on Twitter. This guy is doing something special.
Gosh, look at the boss checking out Drew Brees' hairline.
Well, I do because I've got hair envy. I mean, people can't see my hairline, but I need what Brees has, whatever that is.
Yeah, no,
but I digress. Please,
no,
go ahead.
A lot of people probably do, but I don't see him coming back at this point. I think he's happy where he is with everything. I'm sure he feels he got out at the right time, that this was the time. And let's remember, his last two seasons were marked by injuries. And so I'm sure when he looks at it realistically, on one level he might say, well, it's only 8 games or 9 games. You never know. Actually, but I think the Saints had their bye already, so I think they've got 10 games left. But on that level you might say, well, who knows? But I don't think he wants to go out there and get hurt, because he's just not in football shape. And I think, so I would be surprised if that happens. In terms of who starts going forward, I can't get inside Sean Payton's mind, but I think, I don't know that Taysom Hill will be the starter, especially coming off an injury. And I think he'll probably try to go with Siemian to begin with, still have Hill available for the role that he played in the past when Drew Brees is there, and maybe even more plays than he had in the past because of the different things that he can do when he's on the field. I just don't know that Hill is an accurate enough passer and disciplined enough in the passing game as a quarterback even to do the things that Siemian did pretty consistently last night. Now, obviously, he had some difficult moments, but, hey, that happens to a lot of experienced, much more experienced quarterbacks. So my gut is, and I haven't been told anything, obviously, but my gut is he'll go with Siemian at least to start out and see how it goes with Hill filling that other role, as I mentioned. If Hill starts, then I think all of a sudden he doesn't become as much of a threat. You'd have to bring Siemian in at that point, and then I don't know. I just don't know how that would work. So I guess you could make it work. Sean Payton's creative enough to make that happen, but that's my gut. My gut might be wrong, but I think that's what the Saints will do going forward, at least for the short term, to see how it plays out with Siemian starting the game.
Howard, why not Cam? He's available. He's cheap. He's as accurate probably as Jameis Winston, if not better. Why not Cam?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I'm not sure why. I would think from one level, Peyton's thinking, well, I got guys who have been here, and they know the offense. They know the way I operate. And so that's the direction I want to go. It doesn't mean it couldn't change in a few weeks with someone like Cam Newton. Of course, the later you get in the season, the less time there is to really get comfortable and learn everything that you have to, along with all the receivers and getting on the same page as them. So I think that's part of it, is that Sean Payton probably thinks that it might be too much to expect him to come in and be real successful, and for the time it would take to get him really comfortable and be a viable starter on that team at this late time in the season.
Great stuff. Howard Balzer, appreciate you dropping in on your weekly appearance. Always great to get your insights. That's Howard Balzer, SportsMap Radio. Great to see you.
The Boss.
And The Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Okay, one of my struggles in this year's NFL is identifying who the real class of the league is, who the real winners are. And I'm going to start with the AFC because I find that conference particularly challenging. I mean, coming into the year, we were all very high on the Chiefs for obvious reasons, but the Chiefs have struggled. Now, they'll probably win tonight because they're playing the Giants, and it's Monday Night Football against the Giants.
But this is a year of parity, so really what you just said used to be a given.
Yeah.
Las Vegas odds, put down the money on it. But this year, I'm not so sure.
I can't take it for granted for the Chiefs tonight, but the Chiefs have had lots of struggles. I might have thought the Bills coming in, but the Bills have underachieved. I might have thought, well, the Titans looked really good the last few weeks. Then people anointed the Bengals with their statement win over the Ravens just a couple weeks ago, and then the Bengals bungled it all up against the Jets. Some people had the Browns and Baker Mayfield leaving them to the Super Bowl. But one by one, every one of these AFC teams has faltered in some way that it's made it really hard to say this team is one that we can count on. Now, interestingly, your Raiders appear to be near the top of the heap in that regard. They have had a good season. They've had all the tumult with John Gruden's departure.
They've won the big games. They've won really big games.
And they stand at 5-2 ahead of the otherwise, really, coming into the year, tough, tough division in AFC West when you consider what the Chiefs were supposed to be and what the Chargers look like they're becoming under Justin Herbert. So your Raiders right now are on that short list of elite AFC teams.
And what I'm excited about with Las Vegas is that what could have been a season-ending disaster for them with the John Gruden scandal and having to resign and Rick Bisaccia stepping in as the head coach. I mean, there was so much massive change that happened in a 3 or 4 day period. And what that has done is just allowed Derek Carr to step up as the true leader and the rest of the team step up behind him, and they've gone 2-0 in that span. Now, they did have a bye week this week, so they'll have a little bit of rest, but they've got the Chiefs coming up in 2 weeks. And I love – you don't want to peak now. It's just November 1st, and I think that Las Vegas is just fine-tuning things because the wins that they had, one was without – this is in the post-John Gruden era – without Darren Waller at all, their star tight end. They have so many – receivers and people that are catching the ball. They've got a lot of options, and I think they're just scratching the surface. Peak in December and January, not now, Las Vegas.
All right, well, a team that seemingly was peaking, the Tennessee Titans. They had a lot of signature wins, and they had the beatdown over Kansas City, which was impressive. They had a good win over the Colts yesterday, but the news today, Derrick Henry lost for the year, likely for the whole season, and that is a total game changer for the Titans. I mean, that team will not look the same without Derrick Henry in the backfield.
No, because now that makes Ryan Tannehill have to beat you when you don't have the run game. That's tricky.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you and me, we've talked about this. We saw this coming. The workload that Derrick Henry has carried for the past couple years as like a four down back. I mean, the guy has just been absolutely amazing. You knew something like this was going to happen. I felt it was coming. And I'm sad for him, and I'm sad for the Titans. That's a brutal, brutal loss.
Yeah, they had wins consecutively over the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Colts. And now Henry is injured. Interestingly, Henry, at that point after this weekend, he had 219 carries on the season.
I'm sorry, we are not even at the halfway point.
Yeah, and that put him on pace to break Larry Johnson's single season record of 416 carries. So the Titans were loading up on that horse, and the horse is now broken down.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. But, you know, the Titans were able to pull out a victory yesterday over Indy in overtime. Why? Carson Wentz. He gave that game away.
Two picks.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Two picks. Like, look at his line. 27 of 51. Did you hear that? He completed 27 of 51 passes, 231 yards, 3 TDs, but 2 INTs. And frankly, I'm over this. I mean, stop giving him excuses. The guy is my Bill O'Brien doppelganger, or whatever you want to call it. He gets to every press conference. I've got to do better. It's on me. Well, I heard that for years here in Houston. And you know what, Carson? You're 5 years in. It's got to stop being on you. Stop trying to play hero ball. Stop trying to do it all. Make better decisions. Both those interceptions were on him. They were ill-advised. It was I am really tired of it. He keeps giving games away. He came from a small town, a small school where he was the hero. But this is different. This is the big bad world of the NFL, and he needs to learn to be coached. And I think Carson Wentz is too arrogant to accept coaching, which is why he is still in this position. I rest in my case and would love to hear what you think.
Well, the Colts now fall to 3-5 and may well regret this decision. They gave up a lot of draft capital to bring in Carson Wentz, a pick that if Wentz plays 75% of the snaps will become a first-round draft pick for the Philadelphia Eagles and perhaps a very high draft pick with the Colts 3-5 now and probably heading to a season that only has about 6 wins.
In a division that's very winnable. You've got Jacksonville, a one-win Jacksonville team, a one-win Texans team, a Titans team that just lost Derrick Henry for the season. It should be winnable if Carson Wentz can get out of his own darn way.
Yeah, so it's not likely to be the Colts this season as the elite of the AFC. Titans faltering now with Derrick Henry out. Bills have not played up to their potential, but still very much there. And that is a team loaded with talent. I think they'll get it right. They finally got it right in the second half yesterday in their win. But one team to watch on the fringe of this AFC playoff hunt are the New England Patriots. And Mac Jones is developing. Yeah. You can almost see it each week. He was not spectacular yesterday. He was efficient. He did what he needed to do.
And he beat the Chargers.
Yeah, he did beat them. Well, the Chargers, that's a really quality win for the Patriots. I mean, they've had the losses they've had, well, three of them were very close losses. Remember, they were beating Miami and then on their way to beating Miami, and then they fumbled the ball away. And then they had a close loss, overtime loss to the Cowboys. They lost to the Buccaneers, but they slowed Tom Brady down, and they were very competitive there. But the win yesterday was a good win over a very good Chargers team. And what you saw there was that the defense seems to be putting all those pieces together. It's a Belichick-type defense, and they really did slow down Justin Herbert. Again, they did it last year, and then they were able to do it this year. Patriots with a win over a quality team.
I mean, you got to hand it to Belichick. He knows how to develop these young quarterbacks, and he knows how to make a really good quarterback in Justin Herbert look ordinary.
Yeah, it's funny you say. We say we know how to develop quarterbacks. He hasn't had to do a lot of developing young quarterbacks because Brady was so good for so long. But it does appear he picked the right guy. I mean, right now, would you rather have Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, or Trey Lance?
Oh, there's not a question.
And
he's got the guy.
There doesn't seem to be a question. The guy who slipped to 15 at the Patriots, at least at this point, and it's early, looks a lot better than the guys who were drafted number 2 and number 3 overall. I think Josh McDaniels has done a good job of feeding Mac Jones, growing him along at a slow, deliberate pace, and at a pace that he can absorb what he needs to do on that field. But look at the Patriots right now. They sit here 4-4, and their schedule gets a little softer now going ahead. I think they will be a team that could squeeze into the wild card picture. I'm not over the top on them. They're not going to be a Super Bowl contender.
No, but they're moving in the right direction.
But it's a big step to go from where they were a year ago, a Cam Newton-led team, a team that really didn't have an offense, and now you can see how it could all come together. If they get to the playoffs this year, then they could get a few more pieces and really position themselves for a run the following year.
And, you know, having just talked about Carson Wentz and the mistakes he's making and the way he's giving away games, you look at a rookie in Matt Jones he didn't have a spectacular game yesterday, but he was efficient and he didn't hurt them. 18 of 35, 218 yards. He didn't have any touchdowns, but he didn't have any takeaways either. No interceptions. So you've got to, as long as you're not in harm's way, I mean, he's not hurting his team.
All right, so in the AFC, it seems wide open. Shifting gears to the NFC, to me, there are two teams that really stand out that I had to face them in the playoffs, it would spook me. One is the Los Angeles Rams with the addition of Von Miller. That defense needs to now become elite, given the capital they've invested there. Mm-hmm. And if it is, in fact, elite, and Von Miller does what he can potentially do alongside, well, they're going to have Aaron Donald and Von Miller on that defensive front.
And Jalen Ramsey.
And Jalen Ramsey in the back. So crazy. I think that team has a chance to have an elite defense and a solid, if not really strong, offense with Matt Stafford playing at such a high level.
And you have Cooper Kupp, who had 115 yards yesterday in the win over the Texans. I mean, they are really stacked on both sides of the ball.
Great receiving core. Then the other one is the Green Bay Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers is on a mission this year, and I'm just impressed by what they've been able to accomplish. They've now won seven straight. Teams don't win seven straight in the NFL. Almost never. I mean,
well, and you look at their last win. They beat what was previously undefeated, the Arizona Cardinals, in Thursday Night Football.
Who had won seven straight, so I stand corrected. But, yes, they
had. Well, no, but they, yeah.
It was exceptional.
I didn't even think about that, but, yeah, you're right about that. But at that point, I mean, remember, Green Bay was absent their defensive coordinator because of COVID, their four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver in Devontae Adams, their wide receiver in Alan Lazard, all due to COVID, and they still beat the previously undefeated Kyler Murray-led Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
I mean, that's impressive. That's a big win. Big win. And they got in Kyler Murray through his first red zone interception of the season that night. So I love what Green Bay's doing on defense. Against, they picked up Merciless. They picked up from Houston, Jalen Smith from Dallas. And I don't know that they're going to be done by the trade deadline tomorrow. It seems like they're active and they're looking.
Well, the question for the Rams, if they want to pick up anybody else, do they have any draft picks left to offer?
No, I'm talking about the Packers.
Oh, the Packers. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Packers may well come back and try to pick something else up to add to their roster. I mean, the other teams in the NFC that are worthy of some notion, obviously the Buccaneers, a Tom Brady-led team in the playoffs.
You can never count out a Tom Brady-led team,
honestly,
period.
It's interesting to go back. Last year, around this time, people were starting to say, oh, no, this Buccaneers team is going nowhere. I think they were 6-5, and it just didn't feel like the pieces were coming together. And then they got on that late run. And, of course, Brady's always exceptional in the playoffs. And, frankly, they beat teams that I thought were better than them, and they got to the Super Bowl.
Including Green Bay at the time.
Especially Green Bay, yes.
Woo, that was a rough one. But, you know, if I'm Brian Gutekunst, general manager of Green Bay, I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers is playing loose. He's playing free. He's saying he's happy. You do what you can to keep this guy happy because he's on a roll.
Oh, my goodness. The idea of the Packers losing Aaron Rodgers is egregious. They need to find a way to keep him happy. And if that means trading away some of the future draft capital to build the team in the here and now for this playoff run.
Aaron Rodgers is not going to play until he's 44, so get it going now.
This is the window for them. I mean, if the Rams think it's a win now window, even more so perhaps the Packers, because we don't know Aaron Rodgers' fate. I mean, based on what he said, he thinks he'll be somewhere else next year. So, yeah, grab it while you can.
Now, what about your Cowboys?
Cowboys.
We haven't talked about them yet.
Looking great. They're 6-1, and to get the win with Cooper Rush last night was a really great coup for them. I think as they get their pieces back, they are on the short list. I mean, I would rank them sort of fourth in the conference right now when I look at the roster of teams in the NFC. But the amazing thing about the Cowboys that's really exciting from a Cowboys fan perspective is they invested a ton of draft picks in the defense. Micah Parsons is the big headline, but there are other guys like Chauncey Golston they took in the third round who is doing very well for them, shoring up the rush defense, and they've got a number of defensive players who I think are young and going to step into it. Nashawn Wright is almost a developmental pick, and we'll see where he goes. But this is a team that is just starting to come together, and when DeMarcus Lawrence comes back, I think their defense really will be head-turning. I think it's going to be exceptional, and they, too, will scare some people in the NFC playoffs. So look ahead. The Cowboys will be there in the hunt. They clearly are going to win the NFC East because right now
you could win the NFC East.
They are way games. They're three and a half games ahead. So they're on their way to the playoffs, and it will be fun to see how far they can go under Dak Prescott's leadership. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We will look at our Monday night football matchup, and we'll offer our picks between the Chiefs and the Giants. That up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, Z-Pac, get ready because the world is going to be awaiting your pick here. But we'll go to Carla first. It is the Chiefs hosting the Giants, and the spread is 10.5 points. That's a big gap in today's NFL. Carla, do you want to go with the Chiefs and give up all those points?
I don't know the betting part of it. I'm going to go with the Chiefs to win. I don't really know what giving up all those points means.
10.5. I mean, that's a lot.
It is a lot, and I don't think
makes
they're going to cover.
Queasy, doesn't
they will not cover that. But
they won't cover.
They're going to be in Arrowhead. They're going to be home, and they have had so much criticism and so much adversity with calling out their fan base. They're going to come out mad. They're going to win.
Fair enough.
And the Giants are riddled with injury yet again. Still not at full force. So I see that.
All right, Z-Pac, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I think that the Chiefs do win. This is a good get-right game when you can take on the Giants at home. But I guess 10.5 on a Monday night, it's just I don't like double-digit spreads on a Monday night or a Thursday night, these isolated games. So Chiefs win, they don't cover.
Yeah, and you got to play a good game. You've got to execute well to cover 10.5.
Don't think you're getting away without a pick. Let's hear it.
I'm going Chiefs. I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to right the ship, and the Giants are the perfect fodder to do so.
And are they going to cover?
They're going to cover the 10.5. All right, you've been listening
Kevin, we'll
to the
see.
Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network. Thanks so much for joining us.